Tonight is Wednesday night, February 21st. This is the women's Mishnah share we're doing in Yone Purim tonight, and there happen to be some men here too tonight. Everybody should know that they're encroaching. Okay, Rabotai. We're going to do something tonight, lichvod the Yom Tov of Purim, and try to get a better handle on two of the four mitzvot that are applicable on the Yom Tov of Purim. There are four mitzvot: mishloach manot, matanot le'avyonim, reading of the Megillah, and seudat Purim. So tonight I'd like to focus on matanot le'avyonim, with a sidebar on Mishloach Manot, trying to understand what exactly is the purpose of the mitzvah and some very unusual halachot that will emerge from a variety of perspectives as to what the definition and purpose of these mitzvot are. So I would like to begin with a practice that most of us engage in. I would imagine that everybody actually makes a point of giving Mishloach Manot on the day of Purim. Yes, I know that we like to recognize that it's somehow gotten out of hand, the idea of Mishloach Manot, and that's why there are many organizations that have said, you know what, you'll make a donation to this, to that, all worthy tzedakot, and you'll get a card in the mail saying, in lieu of Mishloach Manot, a donation was made by you to this particular organization. Obviously, you cannot be Yotzei the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot in such a fashion, so I know you'll go ahead and take your hamantaschen and a bottle of wine, whatever it is, and you'll actually deliver it to somebody. That's fine. However, matanot levyonim, many people will send money beforehand to a gabbai tzedakah and will expect that individual to distribute the monies on Purim. So would you say, simply survey says, if you give matanot levyonim before Purim, are you fulfilling your mitzvah of matanot levyonim or not? Okay, so whenever I ask a question, what's the best answer? It's a machlokes. Okay, so some of you were nodding your head, so we'll take the nodders first, and we'll see that the Aruch HaShulchan fully agrees with you, and says if you give matanot levyonim before Purim, you certainly have not fulfilled the mitzvah. And he can't, and he thinks it's so simple that this is the halakha, he doesn't even explain why. So take a look at source Gimel for a moment, which is the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Tav Resh Tzadi Dalet, and he writes in the second line, in the middle, V'chayav Litein Dafka Bepurim Atzmo. You are obligated to give matanot le'avyonim specifically on Purim itself. Avol kodem Purim, but if you give the money beforehand, afilu natan mifurash al Purim. You specify, so you brought a check to me for the discretionary fund, you gave it to me today, and said, this is to be distributed on Purim. Eino mo'il, you have not, this is not effective. You have not fulfilled your mitzvah. Dizehu chovat hayom dafka, this is an obligation of the day. Upashitu, and it's so simple that I don't have to bother explaining, which he did not. So, it's a very funny type of psak halacha. Namely, I would normally, I understand that when you're dealing with a mitzvah, you have to follow the technical details of the mitzvah. But in this particular circumstance, I would imagine that the major thrust of the mitzvah is not the technical giving. What is the thrust of the mitzvah of matanot levyonim? to alleviate the distress of the poor person. That's the mitzvah. That's the essence of the mitzvah. And as a result, should it make any difference as to whether or not you actually gave the money today to the Gabbai for him to distribute on the Yom Tov of Purim, or you actually gave the money to the Ani on Purim? Shouldn't make much of a difference. So, but nonetheless, even though logic might claim to the contrary, the Aruch HaShulchan posits that this is a specific obligation on the Yom Tov of Purim. And that should tell us that this is not in the normal category of the mitzvah of tzedakah. If the essence of matanot le'evyonim would simply be that Chachamim heaped on the Megillah, Mordechai and his crew, heaped a mitzvah of tzedakah upon us, it would make very little sense that matanot levyonim that were given a day before Purim, you would not be yotzei the mitzvah if it's essentially a mitzvah of tzedakah. So we'd have to explore what might be the essence of the mitzvah as to why the Aruch HaShulchan takes as a davar pashut. So I want to suggest one or two things. Number one, if you actually look at the Megillah itself, the Yom Tov of Purim was started very differently than the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The Yom Tov of Chanukah was established by the Bet Din of the Chashmonaim. Nobody observed anything on the first year of when Chanukah took place, when that first miracle took place, beginning on the 25th day of the month of Kislev. There was no observance of the Yom Tov Chanukah. Next year, when the anniversary came around, somebody said, let's remember that this was a major miracle, and they made an establishment to observe the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Not so when it comes to Purim. Purim was enacted in reaction to the self-perpetuated mitzvah of the various people who lived in Shushan and its surroundings. How do I know that? How do I know that? That Purim's origin is not coming from the top, from the Bet Din of Mordechai, but rather the reverse. It was the masses who began to observe, and then Mordechai formulated, you know what, that's a great idea. Whatever they do, I will legislate for future generations. How do I know that? What? It's, what is it? Right. It's and also the fact that it was observed, that it's observed two different days. Why is Shushan Purim observed on the 15th? Because that's where they did it. They didn't do it on the 14th. All of the other communities observed it on the 14th. And in Shushan, they observed it on the 15th. So Mordechai says, I am going to legislate that whatever the practice was the year before, which was a spontaneous practice under those circumstances, I'm going to legislate for the future. So now, if you will look in the Megillah in chapter 9, I should have put it there, but I didn't. But, you'll trust me. If not, you'll look at it tonight. There are no games on, so you can do that after the shir. What? That's not a game. It's watching people slide down a hill. That's about it. No, a skateboard. So, if you look at it, the very first time that it says the Jews observed, it said that they observed Yom Mishte V'Simcha U'Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'eyu. Doesn't say anything about Matanot Levyoni. Then, after Vayichtov Mordechai, when Mordechai writes letters enacting it, it says L'Kayein Yisdivrei Apurim O'Ele K'chsavam U'chuzmanam, and he says Es Yom Arba Asar Yom Mishte V'Simcha U'Mishloach Manot U'Matanot Levyonim. Mordechai adds above and beyond that which existed in the Megillah, the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim. And the question is, why did Mordechai find it necessary to add specifically that particular component? And the Rav once suggested this is the following reason. Because in the original observance, the introduction to the pasuk, which describes that observance, reads, Al Kain Hayuhudim Hayoshvim Be'arei HaPrazot Osim Et Yom Arba Asar Yom Mishtev Simchal Mishloach Manot Ishloyayu. Please translate. Al Kain Hayudim Hayoshvim Be'arei HaPrazot. What does that mean? Who observed Purim? Only the people in the open walled cities. Prazim means open. Now, why didn't the people who were surrounded, people, cities that were surrounded by walls, didn't observe Purim the first time? Why not? Because they didn't feel threatened. The open cities felt threatened that if the armies of Haman were about to attack, they have very little defense. But the enclosed cities, obviously, not only did it have a wall against it, but the people who are hired or commissioned by whatever the locality is to protect it have the advantage on account of the fact that they're shooting down, or whatever they're shooting down against the peoples who are coming in. So the Arei Mivtzarim, the well-fortified cities, did not feel threatened by Haman and chose not to observe whatsoever. And this bothered Mordechai to no end. To no end. He felt that there was a lack of sensitivity from one member of Am Yisrael to the next member of Am Yisrael. That if someone is threatened and someone is rescued, that should mean that everybody senses the necessity and the obligation to rejoice together with everybody else, despite the fact that you were not necessarily in personal peril. So the mitzvah, which he selected to somehow compensate for that feeling, was the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why of all mitzvot the mitzvah of tzedakah? Because every single mitzvah, bar none, where the Torah once described interaction between person A and person B, is always described as a relationship of a re'ah. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. Ki yigof ish ekshor re'ehu. Re'ehu is always that which the Torah describes. Lo tachmod eshet re'acha. Avdo, chamoro, shoro, and so on. V'chol asher l're'echa. Does anybody remember the pasuk in Vayikra chapter 25, which describes the mitzvah of tzedakah? It doesn't say ki yamuch re'acha, if your friend shall be destitute. What does it say? Ki yamuch achicha. We hope, it's not always true, but we hope that the relationship between two family members is of much greater sensitivity than the relationship between oneself and a casual friend. And what the Torah is trying to convey is that we should treat every member of Am Yisrael in relationship to this particular mitzvah not simply as a re'ah, but as an ach, as a brother, as a blood brother. And therefore you'll be more inclined to support and to offer your assistance for that individual. So what is the objective of the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim? It's not really to feed the poor. That's not the objective. The objective is simply to establish a sense of camaraderie on this particular day based on the fact that that sense of camaraderie, of concern for fellow Jew, was lacking in the spontaneous first observance. If that is the objective of the mitzvah matanot levyonim, it stands to reason that when should this demonstrative feeling be created? On the day in which it was missing. It was on the 14th day of the month of Adar, where that feeling was lacking, and now we're trying to compensate. So it would tell us, this would tell us, that again, it's not the mitzvah of tzedakah, it is the mitzvah of tzedakah that is being employed for a different objective. And if it's being used for a different objective, it would explain why the Aruch HaShulchan is so interested in making sure that we give the money on the Yontov of Purim. So if somebody sends in, wants to give, bigger funds, and they want to give a check, whatever it is, that's fine. But just make sure that you also, to satisfy the Aruch HaShulchan's perspective, just make sure that you give somebody something. And in fact, I want you to take a look at source bet, which is the Bir Halacha, which is the Chafetz Chaim in his Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, but it's not the Mishnah Berurah, the more famous one. The Bir Halacha is less famous, but usually a lot more expansive than the very short, brief comment of the Mishnah Berurah. And he writes, commenting on the Mechaber, who says that you're obligated to give at least two aniyim, because the evyonim is plural, lishnei aniyim, he writes, v'lo yitein lohem kodim purim. You shall not give them before Purim. Now he has a different explanation. Why? Dilma achli lahu kodim purim. Don't forget that according to most, believe that matanot levyonim is again not the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's just to ensure the fact that everybody participates in a festive seuda on Purim. So if you are well off and you have resources, we know what people can do in order to make a festive celebration. But someone who is strapped for cash may not necessarily have adequate funds for a lavish suda. So what do? You provide the provisions of the meal. So you give them a lakshin kugel, you give them a chocolate mousse, whatever it is, whatever you happen to give, you'll give your hamantash, you'll give a challah, you'll give soup, you'll give something. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the danger of giving it sometime before Purim is this guy is starved. He doesn't have much to eat 2 days before Purim or a day before Purim. So let's make it 2 days, because he's not going to eat on Tainus Esther. So it's 2 days before Purim. So what will happen? He'll eat everything that you suddenly give him on Tuesday instead of Thursday Purim. And then he's going to have the old-fashioned rice wheels and cottage cheese for his su'udat Purim. And that's not Chachamim intended. So the inference from the Mishnah Berurah is that if I could somehow guarantee that this individual will not necessarily spend or consume that which I give to him on Tuesday, it wouldn't be so terrible to give him matanot levyonim on Tuesday if I could somehow guarantee that he will not spend that money beforehand. And the difference is that if you give it to a gizbar, somebody who collects on behalf of matanot levyonim, if you give it directly to the evyon, be it food or cash, so either the evyon will eat the food or spend the money to buy food or other necessary items, because the money's his. But if you give it to an intermediary, there is no chance in the world that the intermediary person, the gizbar, the gabay of tzedakah, is going to eat up the stuff before Purim. And as a result, if you were to give it before Purim, and he would distribute it on Purim, undoubtedly, you would be yotzei the mitzvah according to the Chafetz Chaim. because his concern is only that if you give it directly to the Ani, he is not going to have adequate supplies for his Mishteh v'Simcha. So according to the Bi'ur HaLacha, the Chafetz Chaim, his perspective is not what we suggested before. He believes that Matanot Levyonim have a different origin. It's really the method through which we guarantee Mishteh v'Simcha. What does the word Mishteh mean? How do we observe Mishteh? Through a meal, a party. That's what Mishteh means, a party. And party in Jewish households means lots of food. And probably in most cultures, not only Am Yisrael, but certainly in Am Yisrael, we believe that party time means fressing time. So according to the Bi'ur HaLacha, the focus, again, it's not the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's the opportunity to guarantee that this person participates in the mitzvah of Mishteh and Simcha. I'm emphasizing Mishteh, and therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Chafetz Chaim, I don't want you to give it beforehand. It might be Uminag Ha'olam. However, the wide-standing practice, says the Mishnah Berurah, is Litain Kodem Purim. He noticed even in Hin Radin, that's the way people, they were like in Tinek. Most people gave their Matanot Levyonim before Purim. After Matanot Levyonim, Mitzvato Dafka B'Yom Purim. The mitzvah is specifically, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, on Purim. So what are we going to do? So how am I going to defend all of the people of my community who gave Matanot Levyonim on before Purim? Sarich lomar, we must by necessity stay, the al korcha no sein shtei matanot le'evyonim gam b'yom Purim. That even though he gave the lion's share 2 days before Purim, or a week before Purim, he had to actually give to evyonim something on Purim itself. Vigam, what else do you know? Yesh harbe aniyim hachozrim al haptachim bepurim. You don't have to worry about finding aniyim on Purim. They're going to come knocking on your door, as is the practice in many communities. They come around not only on Purim, but specifically on Purim they come around. So you'll have ample opportunity, even though you gave your check to your whatever it is, you sent in money for any organization, no problem. You'll have the opportunity, in all probability, to fulfill the mitzvah in its technical sense by distribution on Purim. But in theory, he agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan that the primary mitzvah is on Purim, not before, but for a different address. Namely, to highlight the mitzvah of Mishteh and guarantee that this individual has an opportunity to participate. Hold on, I'm going to get to that. That's a different perspective on that. Is in effect saying that it's more like akin to tzedakah, but with one difference, that by tzedakah you have a right, perhaps even obligation, to see whether or not the need is indeed justified. So today at least 10 people came to my office with their, you know, the usual stories, and I only asked them one question: do you have the te'udah from Tina? That's all. Because then I know that Menachem Stamm, who is right across the street from me, is one of the two people who checks on all these cases. They actually check. They call somebody in Israel, especially all these Israel people. They have to provide a reference. So when a guy comes for his, he cannot get his te'udah on the spot. Because they don't, you know, he's a people working, they don't have time. They have to have the time to investigate. They have to call a rav or whoever it is who will vouch for this person's medical needs, social needs, whatever it is that the individual is collecting for. And on the certificate, it checks whether it's for medical, whether it's for personal, whether it's for marrying off somebody, where some people have a little less sympathy, whatever it is. So. On Purim, however, you're not supposed to check. You're supposed to give to everybody. So we'll see that in a couple of seconds. That's what the Bi'ur HaLacha says. There is a third perspective as to what the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim is all about. Not to amplify the mitzvah of Mishta, but to amplify the mitzvah of Simcha. The Rambam, in two places, defines for us the mitzvah of Simcha. The one that you have in front of you is the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. In Hilchos Megillah. So the Rambam will write on source Hay, where the Rambam writes in Halacha Tet Zayin, V'chayav l'chalek l'aniyim b'yom ha'purim. You have to distribute for monies to poor people on Purim. Ein pochsin mishnei aniyim, no sein l'chol echad matana achat. You are obligated to give at least one gift to at least two aniyim, or oma'ot, omine tabshil, or something cooked, omine ochlin, shine emar, umatanot lo evyonim, shte matanot lishnei aniyim. Ve'ein medaktikin b'ma'ot purim, you don't investigate, don't scrutinize, el kol haposhet yado lito, anybody who stretches his hand out or knocks on the door, notnin lo. Ve'ein mishanin ma'ot purim litztaka acheret. You are not permitted to switch ma'ot purim for any other tztaka. There is a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, which are the laws of tztaka. And there it discusses that if they made a magbit, an appeal, for need A, and you know, they were building something in the community, and they made an appeal, communal appeal. They were building shul, building a school, building a mikveh. And now there comes a situation of pidyon nifashot. Somebody was taken captive, and we have to redeem him. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's based on a Gemara of Basra, mishanin mitztaka litztaka. The gabbai has the right to take the funds that were collected for the yeshiva or the Beit Midrash and use them for pidyon shvuyim. That's what it says. However, here the Rambam writes that when it comes to ma'ot purim, you are not permitted to switch ma'ot purim to any other legitimate need. Now that also has to tell us that it's not a typical tztaka. Because, as I just told you, it says clearly that when you are the gabbai for tztaka, you are permitted to make adjustments depending on what is the, you know, the primary need at that given moment. You are the gabbai tztaka. That's part of the prerogative of the gizbar to be mishanem in tztaka l'tztaka. So, what is the purpose of this mitzvah? So the Rambam continues in a very famous Rambam. Mutav le'adam leharbot b'matanot le'evyonim mi leharbot b'su'udaso u'b'shloach manot le'reyav. It is far superior, says the Rambam, to allocate the greater resource share of your resources for matanot levyonim than it is for your own personal meal or even for mishloach manot. Why? She'ein sham simcha gidola umifu ara. There is no greater or more decorated mitzvah ela lissameach Lev aniyim yitomim almanot vigerim. Other than to cheer up the poor, the convert, orphans and widows, shahamisameach lev hoamlolu halolu. Anybody who rejoices these downcast people, dome lishchina. That's incredible praise that the Rambam heaps upon a person who goes ahead and is gives a lot of money for matanot levyonim. Shine emar lahachayot ruach shpalim ulahachayot lev nitkaim. This Rambam about being misameach aniyim also is part of the definition of the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov. In a most famous statement by the Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha Yutet of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam writes, anybody who prepares a big meal and only shares it with his family, ein ze simchat mitzvah, ela simchat kreso. And it's not called a mitzvah of simcha, it's called a simcha of your stomach. That's it. And what does he say in order to fulfill the mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha? You have to share with those who are depressed. So the Rambam believes that on Purim, the mitzvah of matanot levyonim is designed for a third purpose. Again, it's not the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's designed to enable you to be mekayim the mitzvah of simchat Purim. How do you engage in simchat Purim? Yom mishke v'simcha. So we know that part of simcha is basar, yayin. We know that. But the Rambam, part of the Rambam's definition is that simcha includes the mitzvah of feeding those who are poverty stricken. So according to the Rambam, it again should take place on the Yontif of Purim. Because the mitzvah of simcha doesn't take place on Tuesday. I'm not saying that it's not a mitzvah stuck on Tuesday. Of course it is. But on Purim, there's a mitzvah to be misameach leiv ho'aniyim. On Purim. And therefore the Rambam said that you have to give it on Purim. He's the third person who agrees with that perspective. But not to somehow compensate for a characteristic flaw that existed then. It's not to guarantee a good meal of the mishteh. It's part of your obligation of the mitzvah of simcha. You cannot fulfill, I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of simcha unless one goes ahead, is misameach, somebody in need. And this is consistent with the Rambam's opinion, which who says that that Yom Tov is, and that's why ein medaktik in bedavar. That's why you don't have a right to investigate. If it was pure tzedakah, every single mitzvah of tzedakah, every time, you have a right to ask for the te'udah. I recommend that you ask for the te'udah. I recommend every single time. Somebody knocks on your door, if you don't have the te'udah, please get a te'udah, come back, I'll give you something. Because you cannot imagine, I've heard, and the guy who, I told you, he does the check and lives across the street from me, he's one of the two people, he tells me stories galore of how people fabricate stories, and when they call up, it's like, how you dvar me'ayla? Nobody knows, nobody can verify it, and they just make up a bunch of baloney stories, besides all the other horror stories of changing the checks, adding an extra zero from $30 to another zero, make it $300, and you know, it's crazy. Forget about those stories. But even those that are totally made up. On Purim, because it's not stuck, it's the mitzvah to be misameach. So therefore, for simcha, you don't have to investigate to be mekayim that mitzvah. You can make somebody who has money, even if he's a fraud, you can make him happy too. Obviously, you should try to get somebody who is, you know, by definition, in need. And tell you, it's going to be shocking. There are people right here in our community who I halakhically classify them as aniyim. Aniyim. There are a couple of people in Teaneck who go from rabbi to rabbi to rabbi to rabbi and survive only by discretionary funds and go on. And you tell them to go to Project Ezra. Project Ezra has already had it with them because they've been with them for so many years and they still haven't gotten a job, nothing. It's sad. So some people in this, even in our community, still fit into that particular category. But that's a third perspective. Third perspective.
If you know they're a fraud, though.
Yes.
Then you don't give it, right?
What?
They have a reputation of being fraud.
On Purim, you have no right to inquire. Any other day, you tell them absolutely not. These three definitions thus far will involve another famous question that is discussed on concerning the mitzvah matanot levyonim. Is there an advantage when there is contact between the giver and the recipient? Or is it an advantage that you give it to someone else who distributes it, and that person who is the recipient has no idea who gave the money? So let's look at it. So hold on a second. So if the thus far, what would you say? If it's to commemorate the fact that there was a fault in being sensitive to other people, that can be accomplished by you giving the tzedakah. The person who's the recipient doesn't have to know. If it's to make sure that he has something for the su'udah, it would be just as good if he doesn't know. Certainly if you want to and argue with whatever we said tonight, and it's simply the mitzvah of tzedakah, always better in tzedakah not to identify the contact, because it shames, it embarrasses the recipient that he has to take to tzedakah. You know, it's not a good feeling that you have to do so. However, there might be a fourth reason as to why we give matanot levyonim, and this is by those who lump together mishloach manot and matanot levyonim. There are some, we'll see in a second, who believe that there is a common root to both mitzvot. One is mishloach manot l're'ehu. Now your re'ehu may not necessarily be evyonim. So there is a second mitzvah that even though he's not your friend, if the person is in need, you should do it. But the purpose of the mitzvah is leharbot, and I'm quoting, ahava vireut, amongst people. The idea is to promote a degree of creating better relationships amongst people. That's the stated objective of matanot levyonim and mishloach manot. Well, if that's the case, you can't create a relationship of ahava and re'ut if you have no idea who the person was who sent it. You're not going to say, who sent it to you? If the purpose of the mitzvah is to increase ahava and reyut, it requires a confrontation between the giver and the recipient, so that the recipient sees that it is you or me who are looking to create this level of friendship of ahava and reyut. And there are many who say that you cannot be mikayim the mitzvah of mishloach manot and matanot levyonim by sending it with anybody else. You have to give it personally. Many disagree with that because the name of the mitzvah is not nitinat manot, it's mishloach manot. The word itself seems to indicate that I sent it, not I hand delivered it. But there are those who say that. So, if you will now take a look for a second at source it says it black and white. Yeah, take a look at the source Vav for a minute. Yerai Ali, the Aruch HaShulchan says, two simanim after the one he wrote in Gimel, the latseit laderech mibeito bipurim eino nachon. Number one, you shouldn't be traveling for work on Purim. The ikar simcha hu im bnei beito. The primary simcha is with your family. Kidichsiv v'samachta ata ubeitecha. B'masa sheni. That's what it says by Masa sheni. Ubirigalim ksiv v'samachta ata ubincha ubitecha. Im lo, other than the fact, shahanisia nechutza hilo, it's you're desperate, you have to go for business. And under those, sir, unless you're desperate, umitzvah lihiyot purim bebeito imishto v'zaro. You should make an effort to be home with your children. V'gam hanoseya baderech, and if for one reason you want, you have to travel, and he's got to stop off someplace for the reading of Megillah. Yira'eh la'amod, he should also stop. Gam eze sha'ot l'kayem sudat purim u'mishloach manot u'matanot lev yonim. Ve'eino mo'il mashi bebeito notnim b'shvilo. The fact that your family is giving for you is of no value. Why? Ve'efshar de'bematanot lev yonim yatza. Avol b'shiluach manot shelo b'fanav vaday lav klumhu. Sending mishloach baskets by someone else is nishvert ashmek tabik, said the, you want to translate for them, nishvert ashmek tabik. You know what shmek tabik is? You know, on Yom Kippur, your husband walks around with the smelling salts. It means you get nothing out of it. You get a smell, it's not worth anything. So, it's nishvert shmek tabik means it's worth nothing. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you don't give the mishloach manot to somebody directly, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Now, some achroinim, I didn't put it on the page, say that there is same standard as for matanot levyonim. He said, if you give matanot levyonim and you're not there face to face, you yotzei matanot levyonim. But others say, just as by mishloach manot, it has to be personally. So again, if you send with any organization, so Project Ezra sends those little boxes, you must get 50 of them with that little band on. Every year they send the same thing. That's very nice. But you are not yotzei the mitzvah unless you actually give somebody else. Everybody should make an effort. Even though you give those Project Ezra boxes, they're very nice, raises some money for Project Ezra, it's very important. But you should actually give directly, because there is one perspective, namely Aruch HaShulchan, who believes that the mitzvah is not simcha, the mitzvah is not enriching the suda. The mitzvah is to promote ahava v're'ut bein adam l'chaveiro. That can only come through personal interaction. Yes?
What about putting his shoe, like his porch or something?
But will he know it if there is your card is on it? That's fine. As long as you put your name down, he knows who sent it. That's what a lot of people do. That's fine. That's 100% okay. Now, here comes another halachic issue that Rishonim and Achronim deal with. There are people who have what they call ma'aser money. It's very important to put aside ma'aser money, money that you're going to allocate tzedakah. So when you have real ma'aser ani, real ma'aser ani, in the time when we gave out a tithe, on the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, instead of taking 10% of our produce and grain and giving it, bring it to Yerushalayim to be eaten with our families, we substitute Masa Sheni with Masa Ani. So the halacha is, are you allowed to use Masa Ani in order to fulfill a mitzvah? Tzedakah money. You have, take off 10%, tzedakah money. Are you allowed to use that tzedakah money to fulfill a mitzvah? So the halacha is that you are not permitted to fulfill any obligatory mitzvah with ma'aser money. No obligatory money with mitzvah money. So, for example, Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva that you cannot use tuition and count that as your 10% maaser ksafim, as it is called. Giving 10, because tuition is an obligation upon a parent. It's not something that they do voluntarily. You have to teach your children. If you don't teach your children, so then the school is doing the job, your obligatory job of teaching your children. So that is not considered ma'aser money. You can't use it. But other types of obligations that you have that are not obligations, but you voluntarily give those types of things. Say a membership to a shul. I shouldn't say this in front of the president, but doesn't say any place you have to be a member of a shul. It's the right thing to do, so that you're allowed to use ma'os safim to pay your membership obligation, because it's not obligatory. You don't have to belong to a shul. Tuition you have to pay. So the question is, can you use your designated ma'aser safim for the mitzvah of mishloach manot or batanot le'evyonim? So take a look at the Tzur Zion. The Magen Avraham writes, Tafrei Sadik Dalid, Bet Matanot Mishelo. The Rama wrote that you are supposed to give two gifts from your possession. Says the Magen Avraham, Velo Mishel Ma'ot Ma'aser. You are not permitted to fulfill your bottom line obligation of what? Of matanot levyonim with your maaser money. Because it's not a choice that you have. It's an obligation. And you cannot pay off obligations with your maaser money. However, he adds, v'im hosif, if I have 50 packages that I'm giving from Project Ezra, so the first two cannot come out from Maas of Maaser Sheni, but the rest of them can, because that's above and beyond the halacha. And if it's above and beyond the halacha, you are permitted to use Maaser money in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim. But for the primary mitzvah, you cannot do so under those circumstances. Cannot do so to use for the primary mitzvah. That you cannot do. Another question that comes up. Is an ani obligated to give matanot le'evyonim? So based on what we said tonight, what would you say? First, let's take the simple thing. If it was a mitzvah of tzedakah, would you say that an ani has to give? Absolutely not. He does not have to. The mitzvah of tzedakah depends on your assets. If you don't have any assets, you're not supposed to give away, because the more you give away, the more you're going to have to rely on collecting, and therefore the halacha does not want you to do it. But if you believe that the mitzvah of matanot levyonim have other desirable goals, namely to promote ahava and reyut, under those, of course an ani is obligated to do so. If it's designed to compensate for that which was experienced during Mordechai, that one Jew doesn't celebrate, is not involved in the simcha or tragedies of a fellow, of course an ani has to participate. So the basic line is, Rashi writes that aniyim are obligated to give matanot levyonim, because it has these other halachic considerations. Another bizarre discussion, and it's a lengthy discussion. Can you be mekayim the mitzvah of matanot levyonim with a matana al menas lahachzir? A matana al menas lahachzir. Now, the Gemara asks this in many cases. Can I be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav and etrog with matana al minat lahachzir. I give you a gift on condition that you give it back to me. Would you say that the lulav belonged to you? The first day it must be yours. Is that called yours? The Gemara says you can. You can. The Gemara asks, can a guy who is proposing to you and wants to give you the ring, oh, I bought a beautiful ring and I will give it to you for the purpose of Kiddushin on condition that you give it back to me as soon as we are engaged. The Gemara says it doesn't work by Kiddushin, because no woman would be willing to create the bond of Kiddushin if she gets absolutely nothing out of this. No one. So what would you say about matanot manas lahachzir for matanot levyonim? I'll go over to you and say, poor person, or here it is. Or mishloach manot. Matanot, I'll give you everything. Just give it back to me and I'll be mekayim my mitzvah. What do you think would work? Should it work or should it not work? So the prima gadim, he's actually misupak. He's not 100% sure. Prima gadim, I didn't put it here, but I can tell you, prima gadim in Siman, in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh, Tzadik Vav, Se'if Zayin, prima gadim is mistapek. Whether matana manas lahachzir works. So what might the two sides of the coin be? Tell me why almost everybody here responded and said that it's not going to work. Tell me why.
He's using the money to buy his Purim Suda and can't take it back.
Good. If it's to enhance his Purim Suda, how can you take it back? If it's designed to create what?
A greater
bond between people, this doesn't create any bond between people. If it's designed to amplify your mitzvah of simcha, you can't do it. So what those who believe that it does work, it's just a very technical myth. It's logic. I don't know why he's... If I were writing the Prima Gadim, I would say it certainly does not work. But I'm just telling you, that in case somebody asks you tonight, yeah.
I think we should represent that because in the case of Adam and Eve, they actually used to do that. They would give one and then he would give it back. It wasn't amanas.
Mm-hmm.
They would do it. A would give B and B would give it back to A.
Okay.
It's
technically considered giving.
Right. It doesn't have to do with the receiving thing.
No, it's just, it puts the emphasis on the giving. As long as you've given, halachically, that is called a gift. It's called an absolute gift under those circumstances. That's what he says. Now let's go to the very top and see something that the Rama writes. In line 1, at the end of the line, v'yesh l'shloach manot bayom v'lo balayla. One should send mishloach manot during the day and not at night, the night of Purim. It happens to be that all of the mitzvot of Purim are primarily done during the day. In fact, in the time of the Mishnah, they did not read the Megillah at night. It was added on by Gemara later, and it's really not connected to Purim. The Kriyas HaMegillah at night is connected to Tanis Esther. That is why the practice is that we don't break our fast until after reading the Megillah. Because we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other Ta'anit that we fast is for a tragedy that did occur. Tanis Esther is a very unusual fast. It's a fast in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to us and nothing happened. So it's a different type of fast. So when we read the Megillah at night, it's the culmination of Tanis Esther and saying, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for accepting our tefillot, and that's what fasting is supposed to promote. But from the vantage point of Purim, Kriyas HaMegillah is only during the day, like the other mitzvot as well. V'im sholeach manot l're'eyu, v'hu eino rotzeh likablam. Somebody, you send mishloach manot, the guy doesn't want to accept it. O mochelo, or he says, thank you, I got 50 bags already, I don't need any more. Even my kids can't eat any more. Then you are yotzei. You are yotzei the mitzvah. V'isha chayevet v'matanot levyonim u'mishloach manot ke'ish. A woman is obligated just like a man. The isha tishlach le'isha, the ish le'ish, avolo lehepech. A woman shouldn't send to a man shouldn't send to a woman. Shelo yavo lishloach le'almana, the avo lidei suffik dushin. That is pretty far-fetched. That you're going to send on mishloach manot, a widow, and maybe it will be construed that it's being sent as kesef kiddushin, which is the most far-fetched thing. And this is the Ramah. Why do I say it's far-fetched? Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that what do you need in order to create the bond of kiddushin? Two Adam, who witness that the giving was given not as a loan, not as a gift, but for the purpose of creating the bond of kiddushin. That's the purpose of the witnesses at the wedding. When you send mishloach manot to somebody, where are the two witnesses? They don't. Nobody said that this one. It's just very difficult to understand.
So the witnesses would testify that that wasn't the purpose of the gift at all.
That's I know. That's why I don't understand the Ramah. What his concern is suffik kiddushin. I just don't understand it. But avo b'matanot levyonim ain lachush. Nothing to worry about. Only mishloach manot. Matanot levyonim, a man can give to a woman, makes no difference. Nobody's going to ever misconstrue that. That's also a little difficult. Why matanot levyonim, nothing to worry about, and mishloach manot, yes to worry about. But hayoytze midvarein, what have we seen tonight? We've seen the mitzvah of matanot levyonim. So I wrote on the thing, it's not exactly the mitzvah of tzedakah. As I said, there are several other theories concerning what the purpose of matanot levyonim is. One, to fulfill the character flaw that Mordechai identified way back then. Two, for the mitzvah of simcha, mitzvah of simcha. Three, for the mitzvah of mishteh, to make sure that the evyon has his sudas purim, or leharbot ahava v're'ut amongst Am Yisrael. And therefore there are various halachic differences, but it helps explain why most authorities, the Ramah, the Aruch HaShulchan, and all the others that we read, said that it has to be done specifically on the day of Purim. If it were simply tzedakah, it would make no difference whether you gave it on a Tuesday or a Thursday. But here, since it has an ulterior motive, we try to fulfill that particular mitzvah specifically on the day of Purim itself.
Well, Rabbi.
Yes?
Well, according to your last example about Mishloach Manot, you know, don't man to woman, woman to man. Matanot Yavyonim, it's okay. On the Riehu, according to the sheet, the Riehu seemed to be that it would not be, like, it's almost like inappropriate.
That's correct. That I would have understood that reason a lot better than maybe it's suffering. It's just you don't want to develop courtship and friendship between any man and a woman, whether she's married or not.
Right.
That's not what Chazal looked to. So if the Ramah would have said that, I would have bought into it.
So,
but to say that it's a possibility of suffik kiddushin is somewhat of a stretch. Stop here. Everybody should have a wonderful Purim. The women's Mishnah Shiur continue in 2 weeks. We're not having one next week.